It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and GoPSURV.com, the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. Check them out at GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games, free shuttle to the game, large projection TV in the lot, free Wi-Fi, and you can enjoy tailgating with 409 barbecue and wine, Labatt Blue beer as well. Check them out, GoPSURV.com, for all the details. And probably a good strategy for Wisconsin. GoPSURV.com. Greg, we spent a good chunk of time in the previous segment just talking about big picture stuff with Penn State. And I think that's one of the things that, they're 6-3. I think it's the way that they've lost and the trends that have shown up that make people question it even more. I think it's one thing to lose games. I think it's another thing to kind of be stuck in this rut where you're making the same mistakes over and over again. But I also thought in the Michigan game that Penn State needed to have a higher degree of self-actualization in this one and come into this thing with a game plan that had some gadgets and some risk-taking and that kind of thing early on. I think if you're on Michigan's side of the field with a manageable fourth down, you got to admit to yourself that you're fighting an uphill fight and that you need to do something to shake things up a little bit. Take a risk, take a shot. But Penn State didn't do that. Like, I look at the one, it was a 4th-and-5 in the first quarter, on Michigan's side of the field. I forget the exact yard line. And it was just without question punted away. I felt like there were just times, and obviously there were some missed opportunities and that kind of thing along the way that might have impacted the game script a little bit. But this is a team that was superior to you. And I feel like the coaching staff should have looked at themselves in the mirror and said that, admitted that, and said, you know, we got to get a little tricky here to try to stay in the game, kind of like Michigan State did to Penn State.
Yeah, absolutely. I just felt, again, I mean, I don't think it was something that is this is tied to this particular game. This has been all year for the most part. The offense has just lacked creativity. I mean, did they really think, and don't get me wrong, it worked once or twice, but did they really think that endless direct snaps to Miles Sanders was going to be the difference in this game? That was the one wrinkle that we saw. You know, they could not get KJ Handler involved. He played 32 snaps, and they just weren't able to find him. He had one catch for 20 yards.
Which is remarkable because he's in the slot and they're playing off of him.
Right. And I think there were so many times when Michigan just said, nah, we're just going to send 5 and we know we can get there. Yeah. And they did. And I think that just threw everything out of whack. But, you know, you have Hamler, you know, I don't know if he was yelling at David Corley or yelling at someone behind David Corley, but, you know, he's having a problem on the sidelines. Some other guys were showing obvious frustration. I mean, this offense is just at a point now where I don't know how they glue it back together because there's, like I said, there's frustration. There's an injured quarterback playing is toughing it out as best he can. There's a running game that cannot get going. We still don't. I mean, Ricky Slade must have the worst ding up in history that allows you to travel but not play. I mean, he was not a part of the game plan again this week. I thought he was doing some nice things earlier in the year. You know,
well, Miles Sanders carried the ball 7 times.
Right. So, well, yeah, that certainly plays a role too. But at some point you just want to see something else. Whether it's Ricky Slade, obviously we saw more of Jahan Dotson. You know, Daniel George traveled, didn't play. Justin Schroeder traveled, didn't play. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing one of those guys just throw something different at somebody instead of doing really what feels like the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. It's just not going to be the case. They have an issue at right tackle. I think Chaz Wright is probably, comes into that game, and I think he got hurt because Will Fries played most of it, even though Matt Limegrover was pretty emphatic before the Michigan game about the fact that Will Fries had some kind of issue here, technique issue he had to clean up, and he ends up playing 40 snaps. Chaz Wright plays 7. I mean, unless he had the quickest turnaround ever between Thursday when Matt Limegrover said that and Saturday. So they got injuries in on the offensive line. You know, it's not a well-oiled machine by any stretch of the imagination. Nick Bowers, has a ball fly off his hand and it's intercepted. There's no point to me to ever take Pat Freiermuth off the field at this point. There's just not.
And I mean, to take that a step further, if you were you're Trace McSorley and there's you're dropping back to pass and you're picking one guy that you need to catch from, it's got to be Freiermuth at this point, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The way things are going, the true freshman tight end, I think he's going to be really good. But I think the one question people are wondering, like, what do they do? What do you do to fix this? Who needs to go? I mean, this is the kind of thoughts that are out there. And number one, Ricky Ronnie's not going anywhere. You know, I think you make a commitment to him. It's a longer term thing. You know, he's relatively inexperienced. And yeah, I think I made the comment to you off the air. Philosophically, this Penn State offense, it looks the same.
Yeah.
You know, conceptually, they're trying to accomplish the same things. They're trying to get playmakers in space and make plays. But when the playmakers aren't making plays, that makes it hard on everybody.
Right.
So, but I really have to wonder, if the wide receivers do not show any more progress from week 12, what's the future of David Corley? It was a little bit of an iffy hire in the first place, because you coach wide receivers at Army. And now you have this situation where nobody's really developed, nobody's making plays.
Well, so I heard somebody, a Penn State fan at the airport on Sunday, made this point. They thought it was fair. So if you can give David Corley a lot of blame for some of the older guys. And look, I think a lot of the problems are routes. And they're not the depth they're supposed to be to. They're not run the way they're supposed to. And I think that falls back on coaching. But Jahan Dotson's come along nicely, and I think you have to give him some credit for that, or not give him as much criticism for the other guys and put it on the players. But, yeah, I mean, the biggest problem – look, there's two things you need with any coach and any coaching staff in America, but especially one of the Power 5 school where you don't get – you know, you can't mess these hires up. Not to say they did yet, but at this point, there's obviously a lot of questions. Have to recruit. And you have to develop. And if you can't do both of those things, you know, you better do one of them really, really well. And I think across the board, there's some issues with that where, you know, when you're out hiring, I think you're looking for guys that you have a familiarity with. You're looking for guys that have a track record. Jaywon Sider had that track record. And even though the running backs haven't performed all that well, he has a track record of developing running backs and being a very good recruiter. Whereas David Corley came to Penn State and he did not have that sort of background. Now, granted, he was supposed to be the running backs coach when he was hired. He was a quarterback in college. And then he got moved to wide receivers when Sider suddenly became available. So, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting question. You know, does he move on? You know, if they let him go, do they keep the staff together? James Franklin's so big on continuity. It's a question that's going to continue to be asked over the next month, you know, even fairly or unfairly, whether you think it's merit, you know, it's worth discussing or not. It's going to continue to come up as the season reaches its conclusion because, again, when you have these kind of struggles over and over and over, something is clearly a problem, something is amiss, something isn't happening the way it's supposed to, and that's what Penn State's been dealing with for the last month.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State, Michigan. Really a lot to try to unpack from this game. A segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. They have some blue and white wine gift boxes, some themed wines there for sale, an 1855 Vidal, a Sapphire Blue, which is a blueberry wine, and an Old Main Pinot Grigio. You can check out all the flavors, tailgatewine.com. Let me talk to me about the Penn State defense for a second. I didn't give when I'm making my prediction. I picked a 24-16 game. I didn't give Michigan's offense probably enough credit in that, and the formula that they have an identity. So let's just put it that way. They have an identity, power run. You know, Caron Higdon, when he gets the ball in the backfield, he is at full speed. When he's trying to hit a hole.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, that line is good enough to create openings. It had Penn State oftentimes on their heels a little bit. You know, Penn State's linebackers have a tendency to get washed out and lost in traffic in those situations a little bit. They asked Shea Patterson, their quarterback, really, we need you to make 8 to 10 timely plays a game.
Right.
6, 8, 10 timely. That's convert third and short with your legs sometimes, make a timely pass or two. They don't ask him to do all that much. But it's a formula when they can stay on schedule that works. And I think Penn State fed right into that. But defensively, you know, I thought they held their own for the first, 30 or 40 minutes of game time. The floodgates opened, and I think that is kind of natural. Momentum starts to snowball out of control against you. But and obviously getting tired in the third and fourth quarter is a theme that we have to keep discussing. Mm-hmm. But I think this defense has some promise, and we've seen a little bit of it. It's hard to say that when you give up 42 points in a game like this, but I thought for a while they held their own.
Yeah, so 35 were on the defense because of the Tommy Stevens pick six. I would honestly put 28 on the defense because, again, the Nick Bowers banged off his hands. It goes into the Michigan defender's arms. They return it to, what, the 4 or the 5? I mean, they're right down inside a scoring territory where it's going to be hard to hold up most offenses, especially one that power runs like they do. Yeah, I mean, the reason Michigan is hard to envision as a college football playoff contender, even though they're number 4 and will, you know, have the chance to play their way into the college football playoff, is simply the fact that their offense, it's hard to see it evolving into anything more than what it is, which is you described it perfectly. It's, you know, Shea Patterson, we are going to ask you to do very, very little. Just don't hurt us. Help us every now and again, and don't hurt us. And that's all they ask of him, and it works. I mean, it works really well. And, you know, they get the run game going. They give it to Higdon over and over and over again. And he's full steam ahead. I thought the defense did play pretty well. They have a lot of young guys that are getting snaps. I think that's a good sign. That's promising for the future. You know, P.J. Mustipher got some run this week. I thought Shaka Toney and Shane Simmons each tried to do some good things. Micah Parsons and Ellis Brooks continue to see their role grow at linebacker. Same thing with Tre'Quest Fields and Donovan Johnson at corner. I don't know if Oriwariye is hurt. He did come off with the training staff. He did not return with about, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes ago in the fourth quarter. So that's something to keep an eye on as well, as these guys look to get more opportunities. But yeah, Dustin, you're right. At the end of the day, I mean, I thought this group really, it did enough. I thought it played winning football for the most of the game. Definitely not the whole game, but most of the game, you know, it played winning football. If it had just got a little bit of help from its offense, which was not meant to be on Saturday in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, so this is the end result here, and I thought that you know, just to round up a couple things, Michigan's defensive ends were just Penn State's offensive tackles were just no match for him. You know, you look at the couple sacks in the first quarter, it was child's play out there. Josh Uche on one side, I forget who beat Chaz Wright for the sack. Winovich. Chase Winovich, yeah. Did.
Devin Bush ran down Miles Sanders at one point. I mean, that defense is a clinic. There's no question about it. But I thought Penn State wasn't necessarily right there with it, but certainly, you know, again, did some things that could have resulted in a victory if the offense just gave it a little bit of help, which was never meant to be.
So, yeah, Michigan's defense is a national caliber defense. So I don't think there's any shame, really, in not being able to get much going. Michigan State had less than 100 yards against them. So we'll see. I think Wisconsin will be a much more realistic test for where Penn State's program is. You got to start seeing progress. You got to start seeing it soon. We'll see what happens this Saturday. Moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, Big Ten review coming up after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.